Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. I'm talking with Jim McKinney right now. Jimmy has been promoted within this huge organization. Jimmy is now the go-to authority in the KE Report economics when it comes to political issues. We just off mic talked about what's going on in California, which is a joke. Now we're going to talk about something that Jimmy is very concerned about right now, and that is, I guess if I use the word misdemeanor, misunderstanding, that would be pretty appropriate. Let's talk about your feelings right now about what's going on with COVID, Jimmy.
So I believe the narrative that has been politically driven for the last 2 years is beginning to collapse very rapidly around the authorities that have pushed this propaganda and around the media companies that have perpetuated the same information. And you can go, Jake Tapper is questioning it, Brian Stelter from CNN, both of them from CNN, people from MSNBC, Chris Hayes, as well as New York Times articles, Washington Post articles. Leftist narrative is beginning to collapse because of the confusion being pushed by people like Rachel Walensky, the director of the CDC, and Anthony Fauci, and of course the continuing White House push for vaccine mandates in spite of the data that shows that you will still, and probably people will probably still get some form of COVID, even if you're fully vaccinated. And now they're talking about putting a fourth booster out there. And in fact, people from Pfizer and Moderna, their CEOs and their public affairs people, are now pushing for routine regular boosters. In some cases, people are recommending in the UK every 4 to 6 months to have boosters. Now, what does that do? Enriches the most influential or organized group of industry specialists in pharmaceuticals. And I think that narrative is beginning to collapse in many, many ways. But at the same time, the people that have pushed these basic like fallacies for so long, as they wake up, they're still trying to cover their behinds and not take responsibility for the damage, both economic damage, psychological damage, and of course the physical damage for people that were locked down and potentially died because they weren't treated properly or because they did not focus the efforts on how to protect people that were at risk with COVID. So it's quite interesting to see this happening right now. And I think the big takeaway, more than anything else, is even the people that are beginning this, the liberal media, the corporate media, that have been pushing these agendas for so long, even though they're beginning to fail and fall, they're still trying to protect themselves and give themselves just a little bit of an out to say, well, you know, we just found out, or this was, you know, new information, which in fact, for on this show and in many places, people have been discussing the weaknesses in the arguments on deaths, on mortality, on the effectiveness of vaccines and masks for a long, long time.
Jimmy, so right now what you're saying, number one, is your main major complaint right now, which has always been my major complaint, is the edicts that you have to be, for lack of better terms, you must have the inoculations, and that's your problem with this whole situation, as it is my problem. Tell me why that's a problem with you. Everybody knows why it's a problem with me.
So it's not just the vaccine mandates. That's a problem with me because, in fact, this is new technology, new research with very limited historical background, and the more data we get, the more problems are being shown with vaccines. And the vaccines don't stop you from getting COVID. And in fact, they say, Rachel Walensky said that 75% of the people that were fully vaccinated that died with COVID, according to their statistics, which are completely questionable, but they had four or more comorbidities, meaning they had significant problems. And when they say that maybe half the people in hospitals right now, and this is New Jersey, New York, CDC, half the people in hospitals that they claim have COVID did not come in because of COVID, but were tested and showed positive for COVID, doesn't mean they had symptoms, doesn't mean they had anything else wrong with them. That really, you've got to question the narrative of how many people have died since the beginning of this entire fiasco, and how many people are actually accurately being identified with COVID. Because again, they've had to throw out PCR tests, they've had to, you know, there's huge questions on this entire process. So yeah, vaccine mandates, ridiculous. Mask mandates, even the narrative with the CDC, they've come out and said, you know what, yeah, masks, you know, cloth masks don't work. But we've all been forced to wear them in places like Washington, where the governor is continuing to take additional power. So my biggest concern is not so much that we're trying to save the population here, but what we're trying to do, what many of these political leaders are attempting to do, is take control using these types of constraints to either separate and identify people that they don't agree with and keep them from gathering and voting against them or organizing, or just flat out for their own individual power and financial gain, maybe with relationship with to appease big pharma. And that, to me, and of course global corporations. Remember, who's hurting most from all of this shutdown economically? Small business and the right. People that are at the bottom end of the economic spectrum. Who's gaining the most? Large corporations, Amazon, Microsoft, all the big Facebook, all the big tech companies, and then big corporate manufacturers, fast food chains. Target didn't close, but the neighborhood store closed. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that is just really, really frustrating to me to watch this. These agendas where you're giving preference and priority to one group and not another.
Jimmy, looking at the total picture, what do you think the total picture really is showing right now? I have an idea what it is, but you're in charge.
So, well, my view is people like Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan Chase, who's going to fire all of his employees that aren't vaccinated by the 1st of February, he announced. Citibank is saying the same, or Citigroup saying the same type of thing, where the airlines have said they'd fire pilots because they wouldn't get vaccinated, where hospitals are firing staff that work through the entire pandemic because they're not going to be vaccinated right now. People that actually in the medical fields that know better, when the federal government has to give the post office an exemption from the federal vaccine mandates because that will shut down their operations, there's something seriously going on right now. And what I think is, it's tremendous influence by global corporations to take very powerful steps to take away competition, and of course by the pharmaceutical companies to push this absolute financial windfall opportunity for them. And it bothers me, and I very much am concerned that people like Bill Gates and some of these globalist ideologues that are out there, Klaus Schwab, are actually using these coordinated efforts. You hear it from the corporate media, very sophisticated one-liners that are continually perpetuated by these false narratives and these, you know, talking heads supporting the corporate industry that are basically trying to reshape the entire global system to their benefit. And I think they finally believe that they've got the power to do it, they've got the voices to do it, and they've got people in positions around the world to be able to do it. I'm not saying it's any individual. I think it's kind of an entire group of people that like the idea that they get financial benefit from destroying the American way of life, basically.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, but, you know, I live in the same neighborhood that you just moved away from, and we are somewhat isolated, as you know. I mean, it's a 40-minute drive round trip to the grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. I do no more shopping anymore, any place other than on Amazon. because it's just, it is more convenient. And I suppose I could be idealistic and I could say, well, I'm going to drive all over hell and back to buy things so I don't necessarily have to support Amazon. But, you know, it's very, very inconvenient. Getting groceries from the local grocery store where the supply chain is virtually, the supplies down there are virtually zero with a high demand for many products that I particularly want, number one. And number two, you know, give you an example, as you know, I've been having computer problems. I ended up having to get a brand new, I had to rebuild my monitor, which included getting a brand new screen. I normally would have gone to Best Buy's to get the screen, which is about a, it's about an hour and 20 minute a drive round trip to go to Best Buy's. I went to Amazon. The price at Amazon was, let's say, X amount of dollars for the screen, which will be delivered today. The price at Best Buy's was 3X, three times the price. So I guess I am, in effect, supporting internationalists right now, unknowingly. And well, I'm not exactly proud of that, Jimmy.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the interesting part is people have to realize, yes, Amazon is very convenient. It's very simple, right? But
right.
What happens in a world where a corporate entity controlled by a guy like Jeff Bezos, and I guess he's backed off the leadership, but you have a corporate entity that basically dominates an entire sector,
right,
of an industry.
Right.
You lose competition. Eventually, you're going to pay heavily for it. And
yep.
That's what we're seeing right now across the board. There is very limited competition out there.
Right.
It's competition between giants, you know, between big corporate giants for power.
Right.
And they go past borders. So people don't realize the potential impact. Eventually, that fails miserably. And it's,
mm-hmm.
I call it authoritarian capitalism. A lot of people are talking about it's just basically, you know, fascism.
Yeah, I understand. No, I think fascism is a good term here. Having said that, Jimmy, thank you very much. Looking forward to talking with you tomorrow morning, sir.
Sounds good, Al.